Thank you for helping us make Budget Again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for more than 2.5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to standing with you again in 2011. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues, etc.
We are certainly aware of a recent string of attacks against Christians from Iraq to Egypt to Nigeria.
I'm not some kind of a psychic, so I want everybody to understand that, but I ask God for direction, and He very graciously gives it to me from time to time.
I think you can expect tremendous material coming from the mainstream press this year focusing on the Democrats have learned their lesson and they're going to try to get religion again.
I don't know where we got this. He hates sin but loves the sinner. He damned sinners. And were it not for Christ, that would be the last word. That would be all there is.
Indiana truck drivers love issues, etc.
While the word may not be familiar, theosis sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? The concept really ought to be to Christians. It is tied together intimately with what Scripture teaches about the incarnation of Christ. Kind of an answer to the question, in a broader answer to the question, why did God become man? God has perfect communion with man at creation, but Scripture tells us that even from before the foundation of the world, from before creation, God intends to have an even closer communion with man than even creation can afford, and He does so through the flesh of His Son, Jesus Christ, from before the foundation of the world. We're going to talk about the incarnation and Lutheran theosis here in the first half hour of Issues, etc. Pastor Joel Basely will join us. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon. It's January the 10th. In the second half hour of the program, Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House joins us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson, John the Baptist, preparing the way for the Lord. Then in the second hour of the program, on this day, the church is remembering, well, we call them the Cappadocian Fathers. It's an awful lot of theology and people to pack into just one remembrance. Basil the Great of Caesarea, Gregory of Nazianzus, and Gregory of Nyssa. Three names you may have heard of. We'll talk about them with Pastor Heath Curtis. And then we'll round off today's Issues, Etc. program. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us. We'll talk about baptism. Is it God's work? Is it man's work? Just because something happens externally, does that mean it's a work of man? We'll answer those questions with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Joel Basely is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. He's translated several of the writings of C.F.W. Walther, the first president and one of the founders of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, four sermons around this time of the year where the incarnation and this term theosis, if not by name, certainly by teaching, appears. Joel, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much for inviting me back, Todd.
We're going to need to explain a lot here, but to kick it off, you say that this doctrine that, in essence, God intends for human flesh to share in His divine nature through Christ is a most comforting doctrine, and we shouldn't reject it just because this teaching is abused by some other Christians. What do you mean?
Well, the teaching, as we get it in some of the cults or in some of the Christian sects, is offensive to us because it sounds to us like the temptation of the devil in the garden: "Do this, and you shall be as God." And so, we reject the idea of creatures becoming God in the form of idols and that sort of thing. And the misuse of the term theosis or divinization or becoming God is when man strives to become God. But the comfort of the theosis, of human flesh taking on divinity or being divinized, if you will, is not that we aspire to become as God. That's the nature of sin and really the heart and core of what sin is and why we as good Lutherans dividing law and gospel shudder at the term theosis. But when God aspires to be man, that's exactly how we are saved. And it clues us in and helps us then to understand the plan of God, as you were mentioning, from eternity. And the mystery of God using the worst thing that ever happened in creation, our following the devil into the fall, in order not to leave us where we were or even to bring us to the position that we were before the fall, but actually to elevate man and bring him to a higher station. And again, as I heard old medieval Christmas carols talking about the felicitous fall and the blessed fall of Adam and Eve, it used to drive me crazy. And I said, how could that be? That's medieval poofery or hyperbole. But as I read some sermons of our church fathers, for instance, Walther, in several of his sermons, he has a marvelous way of showing how, indeed, God took what was innately evil and inherently evil and terrible for us and used it actually to our advantage to show himself and reveal himself better to us and to show his love to us even more than he showed in creation through Jesus Christ and his becoming man. That is the theosis that is comforting to us as Christians.
In order for us to really grasp the true comfort here, we need to first rightly understand the incarnation, and I think a lot of Christians failed to do so. They view it as kind of a necessary evil. God had to become man. He had no choice, as opposed to God desires to take up into his divinity this human nature and share with man in flesh and blood. Also, that this is a permanent state of affairs, that when Christ descended into heaven, he didn't just drop off his humanity to return to what shall we say, pure divinity or something, without the human nature in his ascended state. Talk about both of those things, Joel.
How long do I have?
Long as
that
you
was
need.
An amazing question that you asked. But those two aspects, that God had to do this and that God desired to do this, in a sense, they're both correct. The only way that we could be saved, since sin incurred an eternal justice and sentence against God, and we as human beings didn't have a price to pay off that justice unless we were willing to forfeit our souls in eternity, there was no other way and no creature that could redeem or help man except God himself. So there was a necessity laid because there was no other way for us to be saved. But you can't divorce that side of the coin from the other side of the coin. God did not do this unwillingly or as a reaction to something that he knew of no other way to handle. But he did it according to his plan because he's a marvelous God. And again, he took what was the worst thing that we could have done to him, that sin and offense before him, and he said, I'm going to use this as a way to show myself better to man, to unite with him more closely, to make him more than he could ever have been had I just left him in the garden and he had made it to heaven through his good works. And so in the revelation of God made flesh in Jesus Christ, we have a better revelation with God. We have a better relationship with God. We have a surer relationship with God. And we know him better in the flesh of Jesus Christ than we could have ever known him had he not taken on our flesh.
And that this incarnation is, in fact, permanent. That the ascension of Christ does not dispense with the incarnation. Talk about that, Joel.
Yes, as you know, we just in the pericopes for this last Sunday, we studied the baptism of Jesus, and we saw the Father beaming down from heaven, heaven open, and saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And we saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus as a dove. And as we know, there is only one God, and yet we're seeing three persons of God in that baptism. When Jesus comes in the flesh as the second person of God, what he's revealing to us is not God from the outside, but God from the inside. We're seeing the three persons of God there in his baptism, and we're actually getting a revelation into God instead of the outside of God. And since that flesh is internal to God, as the Athanasian Creed says, not by the changing of the humanity into divinity, but by taking the humanity into the divinity, there is a man in the heart of God, and that man is our brother Jesus through the miracle of his birth.
So, in a nutshell, when we rightly use the word theosis, how should we understand it scripturally, Joel, with about a minute and a half here before our break?
We should understand the theosis, that we have a relative in the heart of God who is God, that is Jesus Christ our Lord, that our race that was alienated by God by sin and the curse of sin and death is in the heart of God forever, and that is an eternal act. We are anchored as a human people in the heart of God forever, and that's the basis of our surety as Christians, that Son of God shed his blood and used his life to redeem us and bring us sinners forgiveness and release from the justice that would hold us away from God. We are now in the heart of God through our brother Jesus Christ.
When we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation with Pastor Joel Baisley of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. We're talking about the incarnation and Lutheran theosis. Some have called it a mystical union, divinization. It's Monday afternoon, January the 10th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us a tweet at IssuesETC or send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. A little bit later in this first hour, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be our guest. We'll talk about John the Baptist preparing the way for the Lord. She's from Concordia Publishing House. In the second hour of the program, we'll discuss the Cappadocian Fathers. That would be Basil the Great, Gregory of Nazianzus, Gregory of Nyssa, remembered by the church on this day, with Pastor Heath Curtis. Then we'll talk baptism with Pastor Brian Wolf Miller. Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for more than 2.5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to standing with you again in 2011. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Live this Monday afternoon, January the 10th, we're talking with Pastor Joel Baisley about the incarnation and Lutheran theosis here on Issues Etc. Pastor Baisley is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. He's translated several of the writings of C.F.W. Walther, the first president, one of the founders of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Joel, tell us a little bit about these Walther sermons that you've recently translated.
Well, I've sort of had a German translation discipline since leaving the seminary, and I started with a little bit of some Luther, and recently, the last 4 or 5 years, I've been translating some of the 19th century collections from C.F.W. Walther. One of them was written during his lifetime in 1876, Lutherische Brosamen, a wonderful collection of convention essays and sermons that had been previously published and were being brought out by popular demand. Then there were about 3 collections after the death of Walther within 2 or 3 years that were quickly published because they didn't want to lose his great sermons and his good communication. But they hadn't been translated into English yet, so I worked on them steadily and have several of them translated.
Folks, you can find out more about these Walther sermons translated by Pastor Joel Basely, our guest. Simply look for the Mark 5 publication link at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joel, you say that it is important, and that you've mentioned this before, but it's altogether important that we realize that the divination of human flesh is not accomplished by our efforts in any way whatsoever, but in fact by the incarnation and the substitutionary atonement of Jesus himself. Explain that.
Well, the striving of man after being God is the very nature of sin, as we mentioned in the temptation of Adam and Eve way back in Genesis chapter 3. There are sects like Mormonism that claim that the goal is through good works and through a certain type of life accomplishment, becoming God as Yahweh is God of this planet. If the listeners would want to do an easy scholarship the way I usually do and do a little search on Wikipedia for divinization or theosis, they'll find on the wiki post there an icon called the Ladder of Divine Ascent that shows monks climbing up the ladder to Jesus. All of these are terrible affronts to the mercy that we have in Jesus Christ. This divinization becomes good news to us is not that we strive or could ever strive after becoming divine, but that God, in order to save us, condescended to be one of us and to take on the form of a servant and to become obedient to the law which we had broken, to be obedient even unto death and death on the cross. And so the theosis is a comforting thing because it is purely the gospel of what God has done in order to love us, to redeem us, to save us, and to be one of us. He became what we are so that we might become as he is. And that's an intimate union and a wonderful love that God has given to all humanity. And again, because it is a gift and it is not something that we earn, this is good news for everybody, that in Christ all of our sins are forgiven, that he dearly wants to unite with us and to give us a blessed eternity with him. And it cost him everything, and it costs us nothing but our pride and our sin and our death and all the bad things that go with it. So this is wonderful news, this theosis, that God became a man for us.
It was several years ago that I was studying, not very intently, but still trying to do my best to study the teachings of Eastern Orthodoxy, and I wrote briefly about theosis a little bit in critique of the Orthodox view there. And one of the things that I found in my reading of the Orthodox on their version of this teaching is that they are almost, not completely, but almost content to kind of stop with the incarnation. For them that, and they're quite right with the magnitude of the incarnation, what it means that God would take on human flesh. But as to the substitutionary atonement, they don't see that as the focal point of Christ's work. For them, the focal point is far more upon his incarnation itself. And to some degree, they might even be willing to deny the concept of atonement altogether. What are your thoughts?
Well, you cannot divide or divorce the work and the goal of his theosis or his becoming man, the true theosis. You can't divorce the purpose and the mission that he accomplished in that from the theosis itself and still maintain it as the gift that it is. And again, I haven't studied Eastern Orthodoxy a whole lot, but I believe that there is a lot of straining and rigorous life and aspiring after beatific visions. There is a striving for these things, which is inordinate and out of order, because it is a gift. But it's a bloody and atoning gift. It's a gift that acknowledges our sin and the fact of the sin, that it can deprive us of God. And if you eliminate the work of the atonement and the resurrection from the theosis, then you make, I don't want to say it too heavily, and I don't want to put down a whole branch of the Christian church by saying this, but it may tend to make God's wrath and anger something that's unreal. And there are people that are, unfortunately, and my heart goes out, and I sorrow, and God sorrows over the fact that those are there are people that are lost. And I think the Orthodox acknowledge that. But they're not being lost in something that's unreal or not true. God's wrath and anger and punishment is real. And that's what he came to suffer for us, so that we would not.
And this is not an idea or a concept or a generalization. You say that Christ not only bore human flesh in that kind of generalized sense, but flesh of our flesh. What do you mean by that?
Well, Walther, in some of his sermons, suggests that if it was a human life that needed to be paid, that Christ could have appeared with a new flesh that he had brought, freshly created from heaven. But instead of that, he is rooted into our family. And that's why in Matthew's genealogy, we have sinful people even quoted in the family tree of Jesus, and we're included in that family tree. And what that means is that God became a part of our family, that there's that kinsman-redeemer relationship that we have with Jesus that's even rooted in Old Testament theology, that he is one of us, he's a part of us, and he bears our sins the way we do in a family. As we share the wealth that we have as a family, we share the sadnesses that we have as a family. He shares all of the bad stuff, all of the tears, all of the suffering, all of the death, and he brings to us his eternal life and his righteousness and his grace and forgiveness to give to us. So that great exchange is possible because we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and he of ours.
So the goal of this in the resurrection of all flesh, talk about that with a few minutes left, Pastor Baisley, how the comfort, this teaching that comforts us now, has its fulfillment awaiting, given by deposit, by guarantee, by way of the Holy Spirit through baptism, but awaiting the resurrection of all flesh, when this mystical union will be fully recognized, if you will.
It will no longer be a matter of faith and anticipation, but it will be ours in that day, that great day of salvation, that as we are united with Christ in his death for sins, we are also united with our Lord in his resurrection. And that's the covenant or the promise that is given to us specifically and explicitly in our baptism, that all of us who are baptized in Christ, St. Paul in Romans 6, are baptized into his death, so that if we have died with him, died in his likeness, we also will rise in newness of life before God. And what that means is we live a life of anticipation. We're living in sinful flesh right now, and we realize it. That's why we love to take communion, confess our sins, and get absolution from Christ and hear about his love for us in the gospel. But as Christ walked out of that cave free from sin, never to die again, we united with him look forward to the day when we will die and leave our sinful flesh behind, and we look forward to the day of the resurrection where we will walk out of our graves. We will not breathe another sinful breath, but we'll live before God in righteousness and purity. The inclinations of our heart towards sin and selfishness and pride and all the things that make life ugly that we struggle against in this life, all that struggle will be done, and there will be nothing but joy and righteousness before God, that as Christ became as us, we will be as Christ, and as he is now perfect, and a child of God, we'll be a perfect child of God with him in God's household forever.
Pastor Joel Basely is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. He's translated several of the writings of C.F.W. Walther, the first president, and one of the founders of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You can find out more about these Walther sermons translated by Pastor Joel Basely. Simply look for the Mark 5 publication link at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Basely, it's always a pleasure, and thank you.
Thank you so much, Todd. God bless.
When we come back, our weekly conversation with Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House. We're always teaching a Sunday school lesson with her. Today it'll be John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. We're coming to you live this Monday, January the 10th. In the second hour of the program, Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest. We'll be talking about the Cappadocian Fathers. Then baptism will be the subject with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. I'm Todd Wilkin. More of Issues Etc. after this.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy is dedicated to promoting Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis around the world. We are the publisher of the Lutheran Catechesis Series, catechetical materials for use with adults and children, in congregations and on the mission field, in families and in schools. Visit our website at peacesussex.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Each year, pro-lifers come from all over the country and around the world to travel to Washington, D.C. They participate in the March for Life, held around the January 22nd anniversary of Roe v. Wade that legalized abortion. A clear majority of the marchers are young people, which is a great sign for our nation. Now, the youth of America have another reason to be in D.C. The first ever National Pro-Life Youth Rally will be held after the march. It'll be held on the U.S. Capitol lawn and will kick off with the music from the Christian recording group Barlow Girl. Pre-registration is recommended because space will be limited. The first 5,000 get a cool free action kit. For more details, visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. I hope to see you there.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.